C1G, number 25B.
We come to the second subject, spirit. Here again, the text is very easy to understand and to follow. If you have as a central theme the epitome here in spirit, that man evolved spiritually, matter has no creative power, well, it would have been enough just to state the first part of the sentence as an epitome, man evolved spiritually, because if we say that, we say at the same time, if we know our categories, we know at the same time that the opposite is not true, that the counterfeit is not true. So if I see that man evolves spiritually, then I can say at once that man is not evolved materially. And that is what she says in this subject here. She can talk around it naturally, but she would say, well, man evolves spiritually and not in another way, because man is there is only one mind, but not many minds, so there is only one mind, and that mind, she says, is the likeness of spirit, so man must be the likeness of spirit, therefore man could not have evolved really from matter, because mind cannot produce its opposite, which is spirit, which is matter. Can you see? But matter does not produce its opposite, namely, mind. These are the things that she just reasons out, you see. It's interesting, you know. It's like, as I said somewhere during this week, you take a simple formula, a law, like Einstein's formula, A equals MC squared. Just four signs, an E and an equal, and an M and a C square. And with these four factors, you could draw the conclusion and the implication, and you get enormous insight into the whole universe. It is not just this law alone that is stated as it is, but we know the rules of handling a law, the rules of transforming such a law, of expanding such a law, see the implications of the law. We know that law when we have an equation that we can change one factor and therefore all the others changes according to that. You see? And so it is actually what Mrs. Eddy does. So if we have a simple statement like this, that man evolves spiritually, we can take that statement or law and can, by knowing how we can restructure the meaning of that without deviating from the fact, we can say all kinds of things about it. That's how you must reason, you see? Then you always have a straight line here. She does that. Actually, her text can be read like this, if you have here that wonderful tone that man is evolved spiritually, namely from mind, then you say yes, because mind is only one mind, and as like produces like, therefore that one mind must be spirit, and that spirit can only bring forth the same thing, namely only spiritually, therefore it cannot bring forth materially. Therefore, matter cannot bring forth mind, and mind cannot bring forth matter. You see, all these equations are embedded in the fundamental law that we have in an epitome. This is the way we should really read the textbook, and then you see that though there is a whole paragraph with all kinds of statements, they all turn around the fundamental law. Or we go to soul, and here we have that man is forever immortal. Actually, that would be enough. I just felt I want to elaborate it a little bit so that one can see in which way the accent is put on that statement, and therefore have elaborated. he does not have to rise from mortality to immortality. Can you see that the second part of that epitome is actually implied in the first one? If man is immortal, he does not have to become immortal. Therefore, he has not to rise from mortality to immortality. Can you see that? It's all in the same tonality, in the same law. But you can take the implications of a fundamental statement. Therefore, we must see that the epitome gives a fundamental statement and not just a side remark. The more fundamental we can see the theme, and the clearer and simpler we can epitomize it, the more we can write around about it, can reason around about it, and see all those many implications. So here, the thread is very simple. Can you see? The first subject says, the origin of man is mind, or put it the other way around, mind is the origin of man. That mind is spirit in the second, therefore man evolves spiritually. Because mind and spirit are God, they must be of the nature of soul, namely immortal. So soul shows that man is immortal, doesn't say that man will become immortal at some future time or through going through the experience of death. Man is immortal soul. And in this way we know already that man has not to ascend out of mortality to immortality. He does not have to rise, from mortality to immortality. Now, sometimes Mrs. Eddy feels that she cannot just state something very simply in a paragraph, that sometimes a subject needs more explanation because it may be the core of her message. Like here in Seoul, we can see here, from some reason that is unknown to me, she feels, let's put a very great weight on this subject of soul so as to be very explicit why man does not have to rise from mortality to immortality. And so gives that subject in a finer build-up, in a finer structure through five subtones. And so let us see what these five subtones are. Again, we take the epitomes. I try now today, you see, to help you to reason creatively by taking these epitomes that are short, and from the short epitomes to see how we can elaborate and enlarge that subject so that it becomes more and more tangible to consciousness. So, in order to bring out that main epitome, that man is immortal, does not need to rise up from mortality to immortality, she must give the reasons for it. And the subtones are the reasons and the reasoning out. She starts right with mind because she knows all the false concepts really come from the counterfeit of mind. Here it comes from finite conceptions, reverse spiritual understanding. Can you see how she starts? She says, why on earth does anybody at all think that we have to rise from mortality to immortality? She says it's because we do not spiritually understand this. Soul would spiritually understand that man is immortal. But there are the opposites of spiritual understanding, namely human conceptions that are against the divine mind, the intelligence of the divine mind. And Joseph says, you know, the whole problem starts really from finite conceptions because they reverse what spiritual understanding would show. They reverse actually what soul states. And that's the trouble. So she starts out showing where the trouble lies, that we think at all that we should rise from immortality to immortality. So this is what happens there, that material belief reverses spiritual understanding. That's what she says. And naturally she elaborates that, why, what these material conceptions are. These material conceptions are naturally the counterfeit of soul, namely that soul is in body, that mind is in matter, that mortal life is in matter, that the infinite entered matter. You can hear there all the tones of the counterfeit of soul, soul being in something. The moment we have soul in something, we naturally have mortality, limitation of the immortal. That's mortality. So we go out there by the explanation that we have the problem only because there are finite conceptions. These finite conceptions are only because we reverse the facts of being, what spirit understanding tells us. Then she goes on to soul as spirit, elaborates further and says, well, these false conceptions, can you see I lead from the preceding statement from finite conception now to these false conceptions will bring about the degeneration of material man. Can you hear spirit degenerating instead of the unfoldment that is innate in spirit? Spirit unfolds, develops, evolves. The very opposite is degenerating, going backward. So these false beliefs that were shown in mind are actually those that bring the degeneration of man, and that there is, instead of progress, retrogression taking place. Then she goes to soul as soul. So she said, well, what can we do about it? How can we stop that whole thing? And soul says, in order to save themselves from mortality, mortals are condemned to improve their material beliefs. So again, she says, well, they try to improve the material beliefs. That's the way they try to save themselves. But that, again, is not the answer. It is the condemnation of mortals to till the ground, you know, mortals should so improve material beliefs by thought tending spiritually upward as to destroy materiality. That's the condemnation. So Adam really felt he could only get out of the ditch by trying to work hard in the sweat of his face and struggling and really till the ground so as to get on. He chose the wrong rule, instead of the right rule of soul, he rules the wrong soul, that of improving material beliefs. So can you see these three first subtones hang together? They explain first in three steps why it is that mortal thinks that they are mortals and not immortals, and why they think that they should struggle to become immortals. So these three tell us that. They say, well, they rely on finite conceptions which really refute spiritual understanding and the testimony of spiritual sense. That's where the trouble starts. As they refute really to go out from a right standpoint, they degenerate in spirit. Instead that they can unfold spiritually, they go backward, they degenerate. And when they degenerate, they think, I have to do something to save myself. Then they use the wrong rule, namely the rule of the condemnation of mortals to till the ground, by trying to improve material beliefs, and it doesn't work. So this lies the foundation. Naturally, Mrs. Eddy must give an answer, a saving answer. And in the subtone of Principle and Life, she gives the saving answer to it and says, you see, you can only remedy that situation if you change your standpoint from which you go out. If you still go out from false beliefs, you will never be able to rise above false beliefs. You must have another standpoint. So in principle, she would say, but viewed from a scientific standpoint, sin, sickness and death, that is the whole concept of mortality, are nothingness. Can you see how here the trick is always at the point of principle to change your standpoint? Like Habakkuk did it. He changed after the three first wrong views, the standpoint, and said, I go now on the top of the tower and look out from the tower. And the moment he went up on the tower, he could see the very situation in an absolutely different way. So here too, but viewed from a scientific standpoint, we are not seeing mortality. We see them as nothing, not as something, not as something that have been created, not as something that grow bigger and bigger in evil, and not as something that is irresistible, that has identity. So change the standpoint, she says here, and then from the standpoint of truth, we can say to all error, that dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Instead of cultivating the dust, as Adam did, by tilling the ground, she shows, go above it, and then you see that dust is nothing, and you don't have to cultivate nothing. False concepts and false conceptions. And when you do that, and lift your head above it and stand on another standpoint, then the subject of soul as life comes in, which says that spirit must be emancipated from matter is only a false belief. The fact is, actually what comes now is the main point, the fact is that man is already immortal. Can you see the first part of the sentence is showing soul, naturally in its false sense, namely that we have to till the ground, that we have by thought tending spirit upward really to try to save us, namely it is the attempt to emancipate spirit from matter, see? To try to lift spirit out of matter, which naturally is a false standpoint. Because we go out that spirit is in matter. It's only a false belief, whereas the fact is that man is already immortal. So if we go out from the standpoint of principle and look out from principle, we cannot see that spirit must be emancipated from matter, but we see that that principle can only see that which is, namely immortality. So can you see through these five tones how really she is trying to show that very, very important point that we have in metaphysics, namely that most students of Christian Science think that what Mrs. Eddy showed there as tilling the ground is a right method, is a right rule. They feel, yes, our effort should go into the line of mortals to improve material beliefs. They say this belief should be improved. And how could they be improved? They say, I don't want any more these material mortal beliefs. I want to have to improve state. And what do they do in order to prove it? And they take here what Mrs. Eddy says, by thought tending spiritually upward. Isn't that nice? Thought tending spiritually upward. So as to destroy materiality. Isn't that mostly the attitude that the student has in Christian Science? That he says, I want to get rid of mortal beliefs. How can I get rid of mortal beliefs? Well, I must have thoughts that tend spiritually upward. I must entertain higher thoughts. So finally, to destroy materiality. You see, it's a wrong method, because Mrs. Eddy calls that the condemnation of mortals. She doesn't say that's the blessing. It's the condemnation. Mortals are condemned, if they want to be saved, to take that rule, which is a mortal rule, a false rule. But funnily enough, you see that rule to be taken by the students of Christian Science as a true rule. They not even see that Mrs. Eddy says it's a condemnation on mortals. Whenever we feel that we have to rise from the first degree of mortal mind to the second degree, so that finally we arrive at the third degree, we show that we haven't understood the first thing about Christian Science, that we haven't understood the first thing about the Christ. Because that's not what Mrs. Eddy shows there. Mrs. Eddy shows first the first translation, the translation of immortal mind. And the effect of it is the translation of mortal mind. So we have to do what? Exactly what Mrs. Eddy shows here then, that she says, well, man created by God was given dominion over the whole earth. Man is not made to till the ground. His birthright is dominion, not subjection. He is Lord of the belief in earth and heaven, himself only subordinate alone to his Maker. This is the science of being. So you can easily see here that what we should do is that we go from soul as soul in the counterfeit sense, namely of trying to improve material belief and trying to save us and to try to save the world. We should take another standpoint and not try to save the world. We should first take another standpoint and say, I look out from principle, take first a scientific standpoint, there nothing is to be saved. There is no improvement necessary. There, that standpoint leads to soulless life, where man is already immortal. And that is the standpoint which we have to take. We have to go out from principles, interpretation of itself, which only presents that which is, and that which is at the point of perfection. So, if we really read the flow, say, of this subject, then we easily see the individual steps we have to take. That we are aware that we have not to gain immortality by getting out of mortality through thoughts tending spiritually upward and rise out of mortality until we finally reach immortality. What we have to do is to take the standpoint of principle, and from the standpoint of principle we see only immortality. And that immortality has a Christ. That immortality by itself will make mortality disappear. Not improve mortality, it makes it disappear. So, in this way you can see very easily how much we gain out of a text if we first distill out of the text really the core of what he wants to say. And if you weigh your epitomes properly, you see, like we have it here, this is a very beautiful example, for instance, for that, for mythology, that you feel, yes, the first three subtones all show the false rule. And the next two subtones show the positive rule of soul. And so you learn something about the right rule and the wrong rule in the realm of soul. And not only that, it gives even the finer step-by-step method of that rule, which says, well, what can I do if I want to get rid of mortality and would like to put on immortality? How do I do that? Am I going to fight mortality, or I'm going to try to improve mortality? What should I do? Well, here she says, first of all, what is mortality? And she says mortality is actually nothing else but a false belief, false conceptions. And those false conceptions, if you take them as your standpoint in spirit, they are retrograding. They are really degenerating. And you can't stop that by the false attitude that you like to improve mortality by thought standing spiritually upward. The only thing that you can do is, soulless principle, to change your standpoint, go like Habakkuk on the tower and stand off the top of the tower and look out from that standpoint, from the standpoint of the divine principle, from the divine one, and from there you see what is life, the essence of life. There you see that everything is already immortal. That's the point.